Well, good morning, everyone. And I was going to say welcome to visitors, and we have Margaret Williamson back from Stornoway. She's been here all week. She hasn't been up and back. But if you're 2 weeks in a row, you're passing the stage of visitor. You're now a regular. Well done. Today is Bible Sunday, so we'll be having a retiral offering for the work of the Scottish Bible Society at the end of the service. I commend the work of the Bible Society to you. The Scottish Bible Society is part of 100 different Bible societies around the world, and it exists for the translation, the publishing, and the distribution of the Bible. It's a non-profit organization, and it just helps people to get hold of a Bible and to read one to be life-changing. I commend you all the intimations there. I just want to highlight that on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, the prayer shawl group starts up again. Once a month, on the first Wednesday of the month. Oh, right. No, I didn't remember then. Normally, on the first Wednesday of every month, there's a group of people meet to knit prayer shawls. So it's a social get-together, it's a knitting get-together, and it's a prayerful get-together. So this month, it's not on the first. When is it? The 18th. Is that a Wednesday? 10 o'clock. Right. The badminton is now started again for a new season. And all the groups are gradually picking up. The adult Christian education started on Friday, but it's had to be cancelled this Friday coming, so we're skipping this week, but the following week we'll be back at full swing. I'd just like to thank the choir for making a donation of £500 for God's work in this parish. So they're not a big group, and that's a lot of money. So we're very appreciative, not only of their money, but of all that they do all year long in the church. They were with me last Sunday at South Beach Home. They'll be with me next Sunday at Arranview. And they do a lot of work that you might not notice. And just a reminder that Kilwinning Old Parish Church is having a summer concert tonight at 7 o'clock featuring the Air Strings Quartet. That's a singer, two cellos and a violin. It's raising money for their organ fund. And I just warned Jim that last week the organ was sticking a wee bit, so if it sticks, don't be too surprised. And we might have to have a concert for an organ fund. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations." And here we are, the all nations that were made disciples. Let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory in hymn 32, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 32 in the Red Book.
Fountains of goodness and love. life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changes thee. Father of glory, your Father of light, thine angels are ruling, all veiling their sight. Oh Lord, we would render, oh help us to see, tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
When you think about it, isn't it amazing that God should communicate with us? Let's pray to him now. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful that you speak to us. You do not leave us to our own devices to spin in our own orbit. When we look up at the night sky, we sometimes wonder what you are thinking and what you are doing. You do not leave us in a cosmic silence. We find ourselves addressed by you in all kinds of ways. You speak to us through the sunset and the sunrise, through the beautiful scenery. You speak to us through music and art and books and flashes of inspiration. You speak to us through a best friend, through parents, grandparents, teachers, ministers. You speak to us through our own thoughts and silence. You speak to us in our dreams. You speak to us through our mistakes. You speak to us through all our experiences, the hilltop moments and the valley times. We also praise and thank you for specially revealing yourself and specially speaking your word to us personally in three ways. We thank you for speaking to us through your word written in the Bible, through your word spoken by preaching and teaching in the church, and your word lived out in the life of Jesus. We thank you today on Bible Sunday. We think about on Bible Sunday how the Bible has changed our own lives and changed the lives of so many other people. It is good news, and it guides and directs us. It comforts and challenges us. It inspires us and empowers us. We thank you for all the parables and the prophecies, the Psalms, for all the different contents. We thank you for using the Bible to give us text messages. We thank you for speaking to us through its pages. Merciful and gracious Father, forgive us when we neglect to open it and read it. Forgive us when we read it but just ignore it. Forgive us when we fail to learn its lessons. Forgive us when we fail to practice the lessons. O Lord, your word in Scripture is like a mirror to our souls. It's the only book in the world which reads us. In it we see ourselves. We see ourselves in impulsive Peter, self-destructive Judas, doubting Thomas, Adam and Eve blowing their chance, Jonah running away from your service. Father, forgive us. And we thank you that we can read in your word of forgiveness, as in Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn away from their evil, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So, Lord, speak your word to us this morning. Open our ears and minds and hearts and wills and imaginations so that we might hear your word and obey your word, and so that we ourselves may become open books, living Bibles in ourselves, conveyors of the word of God in our words and deeds, because we might be the only Bible our neighbours will ever read. So hear us as we sum up all our deepest longings and prayers, saying together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. How's everybody today? See, Dato's all equipped with his rugby strip. You've got a game on later. You've got a nice crest. What team do you play for? Adrosinakis. What age level? Well, all right. So the under 13s. Very good. Well, I hope it stays dry. And Eva's brought a friend. Nice to see you. What's your name? Grace. It's a lovely name. So, do you know the game Simon Says?
Yes.
Would you like to play Simon Says?
Yes.
Anybody want to be Simon? Well, I'd be Simon. Right? Okay, are you ready? You know how to play it? If I say do this, you do this. And if I say do that, you don't. And if you do it, you're out. Right? You boys ready? Right. Do this. Do this. Do this. Do that. You're out already. Right. Do this. Tap your feet. Tap your other foot. Do this. Scratch your other ear. Do this. Do this. Do that. Out. Now, one last shot then. You've got the hang of it. We'll get you to stand up a bit, this thing. Make it more. Right? Right. Sit down. Do this. Do this. Sit down. Do this. Stand up. Do this. Sit down. Do that. Stand up. Right. We could play it all day. I was just thinking, does that sound a bit familiar? Do you get people saying to you all the time, do this, do that? Don't do this, don't do that. Who are you looking at, Eva? I know, but she's your mum. She's entitled. Who else tells you do this, do that? Teachers. Mm-hmm. Brother. Do you always do what they say, do this, do that? Do you do what brother tells you? I thought it might have worked the other way. You're the big sister. Do you not tell little brother? No? Uh-huh. They don't always listen, do they? Connor, do you do what your sister tells you?
Connor.
Don't know if I need to ask. Do you always do what Eva tells you? Yes. All right. Well, I was going to say, if you'd like a shot at it, you could come out and do what I just did. You could tell the others to stand up, sit down. I say, let us sing, and you sing. Let us pray, we pray. But no, we've done that one. Right. No, it's okay. We won't do it because you've seen it. We've done it. But what we're talking about is authority, right? If somebody has the authority, I'm your mum and I say so, so you have to do this. Teacher, I'm your teacher. You've got to do this. Minister, stand up and sing. You have to sing, right? When I look at my dog, he's got two sets of commands. There's Dougie, stop barking, which he doesn't often do. Dougie, come and get your tea, which he always does. There are commands that come out of fear. Stop barking or else. And there's commands that come out of love. I've got your tea already. Come and get it. Commands can be given with authority that's fierce and fearful. And commands can be given in loving and gentle and kind and tender ways. And they can be heard both ways. So when we think of authority, if you have any, if you can tell somebody what to do, watch how you do it. I remember times in my life when I got folk not very good at it. I had a boss at work who says to me, go and sweep up all the leaves. And I said, but it's windy. The leaves are swirling around. I can't catch them. Sweep. So I had to go out with my brush into the wind and try and sweep up all the autumn leaves. I once had a job in another place where I had to paint a factory wall with a little paintbrush. It was massive walls, and it took me days to do it. And I just went brush, 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 till I fell asleep brushing. And I was thinking thoughts miles away. And I came down a ladder to write down what I was thinking. So I like to write down in bits of paper what I've been thinking so I remember it. And the boss caught me. He said, what are you doing? And the honest answer was, I'm thinking. You're not paid to think. Get up that ladder. I said, well, that guy over there, he's down the ladder and he's smoking. Well, you can smoke, but you can't think. And sometimes you get folk throwing their authority about, and you say, that's not fair, that's not right. When you play the rugby today, there'll be a wee guy called a referee in the middle of it all, and your colleagues will be thinking, the guy's blind, he's deaf, he's daft, he doesn't know what he's saying. And they all would argue, I'm the referee, you'll have to do what I say, and if you don't, you're off. So this is Bible Sunday, and for Christians, our authority is the Bible, and behind the Bible, Jesus. The Bible is Jesus communicating with us, telling us what he wants us to do and not want us to do. But when he gives us commands, they're loving commands, because he loves us and wants the best for us. And he's not as daft as it may look. The referee's not as daft as it may look either. There's a wisdom behind what you're getting as the order. So you have to kind of trust people who are giving you orders, but not be over-trustful. You have to think about what they're saying. But if you read the Bible, and if you think about what it's saying, you'll discover over and over again that it's cleverer than we are. Because God loves us and knows what's best, because he's God. And he's giving us, in his best, kind, loving way, his instructions for daily life. So let's celebrate in Bible Sunday God's word to us. And the fact that he guides us not just through the Bible, he guides our thinking, he guides friends to advise us, he guides us in all kinds of ways. So let's sing together. It's the song about the wise man and the foolish man. When Jesus was teaching, he summed up all his teaching and he said, look, When you're building a house, you build it on good foundations, otherwise it falls down. When you build your life, you have to build it on good foundations. So Christians build their life on the foundation of the Bible and the God of the Bible. So let's sing From the Sheets, The Wise Man and the Foolish Man. Okay?
It's something
the general wisdom, the Shaddai hymn books in Brazil, that we come in as soon as it was. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember that there will be difficult times in the last days. People will be selfish, greedy, boastful, and conceited. They will be insulting, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and irreligious. They will be unkind, merciless, slanderers, violent and fierce. They will hate the good. They will be treacherous, reckless, and swollen with pride. They will love pleasure rather than God. They will hold to the outward form of our religion, but reject its real power. Keep away from such people. And verse 12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in union with Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And evil persons and impostors will keep on going from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. But as for you, continue in the truths that you were taught and firmly believe. You know who your teachers were. And you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. And turning to Matthew chapter 8, at verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman officer met him and begged for help. "Sir, my servant is sick in bed at home, unable to move and suffering terribly." I will go and make him well, Jesus said. Oh, no, sir, answered the officer. I do not deserve to have you come under my house. Just give the order, and my servant will get well. I, too, am a man under authority of superior officers, and I have soldiers under me. I order this one, go, and he goes, and I order the other one, come, and he comes. I order my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was surprised and said to the people following him, I tell you, I have never found anyone in Israel with faith like this. I assure you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But those who should be in the kingdom will be thrown out into darkness, where they will cry and grind their teeth. Then Jesus said to the officer, Go home, and what you believe will be done for you. And the officer's servant was healed that very moment. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing from Mission Praise, hymn 428, Lord for the Years, 428. Well, the big news this week was about Brexit, for a change. Especially Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, deciding to prorogue Parliament, suspend Parliament. It caused a massive outrage. He has no right, he has no authority to do that. He replied, strictly speaking, I do have the authority to do that. The experts were called in for all their opinions, whether he had the authority or not to do that. Britain has an unwritten constitution, unlike, say, America. In America, they have a written document and they have a Supreme Court that makes reference to their Bible, in effect. But we do have customs and practices and etiquettes and traditions, but they're not so easy to pin down. So he went to the Queen for authority, and she has to accept what the Prime Minister advises. So he now has the royal authority. He also claimed the authority of the 2016 referendum result, where 52% voted for leaving. Critics claim that he's being undemocratic in proroguing or suspending Parliament. He's no authority, they say. He claims back that MPs have no authority to block the result of the referendum. You'll notice that it's all about authority. The right, the power, the entitlement. The Pharisees used to challenge Jesus regularly, by what authority are you doing all this? By what authority are you saying these things? The prophets in the Old Testament, they said, God says, but you come along and you don't say that. You just say, I say. The prophets will say, there is a prophecy which says, and they refer people back to the Old Testament scripture, but you don't. You just say, demon, come out. You tell the wind and waves, be calm, because I say so. When we think about Jesus and authority, one of the first passages that comes to mind is the one that we read there. The text comes from the Roman centurion. He says, I am a man under authority. Jesus entered Capernaum, and there was a centurion, a Roman soldier. And he'd come to see him because his servant, his slave, was very ill. And he'd heard that Jesus of Nazareth did miracles. He was a caring, loving man who cared about his slave in a society which often didn't care about slaves. Slaves were nobodies. The difference between a slave and a donkey was that one of them could speak. And this man was a Roman, not a Jew, not a native, an incomer. Jews and Romans hated each other. There's no way a Jew or a Roman would ask a favor of the other. There's no way they would give a favor to the other. And there's no way that you could reasonably expect Jesus to come all the way to his house about anything. Indeed, Jews wouldn't enter a Gentile's house. Since it's in that context you have to read this. The centurion swallows his pride, overcomes certain social difficulties here, and he has no authority to ask, no right, no reason to expect, but he sticks his neck out and he puts himself in Jesus' hands. Sir, excuse me asking, but would you consider perhaps maybe helping me in my problem with my slave? Jesus instantly wants to help. Yeah, I'll come right away. But there's a problem. The people are all looking at Jesus. you can't go to his house. But if the Zacchaeus is here, and Jesus figures anyway, I don't need to go to the house. I can heal him from here. And to be honest, the guy asking the favour, he says, look, no, I'm not asking you to come to my house. Just say the word. I'm a man in command of people. I give orders all day long. And I'm under people. And I get orders all day long. I know what it is to be in an authority chain. So all you've got to do is say, be well, and my servant will be well. And Jesus falls off his perch. I've never met faith like that in all my days. Not even in the holiest bullies. Not even in the Jews. Not even in the whole of Israel. This Roman, heathen, incomer, he thinks that if I say a word in the street, his servant's going to be made better in the house. People used to say of Jesus, this man speaks with authority. Nobody speaks like this man. He commands the dead to rise, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. But not everybody worshipped him when he did it. But here's somebody genuinely, honestly believing and willing to go with it. Do we today see Jesus with such all-encompassing power? Would we today turn to Jesus? We don't have to go down the street to catch him. We just need to close our eyes and ask him. Would we turn to him today with such faith and trust Jesus to fix it for us? Do we see ourselves as people in an authority structure? We take commands and we give commands. Would we take orders from Jesus and would we carry them out? Many said he speaks with authority. Rather less responded appropriately by submitting to his authority. But those who did found it life-changing and they were very richly blessed. Could it be that God would bless us and do things, miracles for us, far more if we would just come up to him and ask him and then go and do what he says? Today we live in a generation which doesn't like the word authority. Authority figures like the policeman, the minister, the head teacher, you know it, all the authority figures. We're not like that nowadays. Teenagers instinctively rebel against authority. It's just being teenage, isn't it? But they're getting younger and younger to be teenage. They can be three. Parents rebel against authority. They don't want to be authority figures. Oh, please yourself, son. Let the children decide. Crime increases. There's increasing attacks on authority figures. They're forever attacking nurses, paramedics, police, firemen and women. Schools have a difficulty with the belt is now banned, but we've empowered the pupils, and there's sometimes an imbalance. Strong beliefs are seen as not the end thing either. People who are very passionate, with unflagging zeal, well, they're extremists, aren't they? They're regarded with suspicion. And in the church, well, we don't like people preaching at us. We don't like to be too dogmatic about anything. It's increasingly hard to be a heretic today. Now, your view is as valid as the next person. There are no bad views, there's just different views. Winston Churchill said in 1936, "So they go on in a strange paradox, deciding only to be undecided, resolved to be irresolute, adamant for drift, solid for fluidity, all-powerful for impotence." There isn't right and wrong, there's just lifestyle choices. Immorality is bad, it's when you know what's wrong and you still do it. But amorality is worse, when you don't know what you've done, if it's right or wrong. And you don't care either. "Why did you do that, sir?" "Because I felt like it." That's amorality. What is wrong with murder or stealing, to take an obvious case or two? What's wrong with it? It's in the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not." Aye, but what if you don't believe in the Ten Commandments? Your mum and dad should have told you that you shouldn't murder and steal. Aye, well, I don't always listen to my mum and dad. It's not really good for the wider well-being of society. Well, stuff the wider well-being of society. And so on and so on. Every one of us has to make choices and decisions about our everyday behaviour at any moment. And we have to bring into play our bottom lines, our basic beliefs, our fundamental principles. Where are they coming from? If it comes from the Bible and from God, that's one thing. But what if it comes from peer pressure? What if it comes from just what I feel like? Can we honestly say in our own case that God is number one? Or is it the family? Or is it what's cheapest? What's easiest? Every one of us is under authority, but the question is, which authority? The henpecked man's under the authority of his wife. Some people are nagged to death by their nearest and dearest, or by their peer pressures, or by self-interest. You name it. So what authority are you under? Where does God fit in? Half the problems in the world today come from people not letting God be God. There's no ultimate God authority in their life. In fact, I'll go stronger than that and say all the problems today ultimately stem from not having God as God. People then replace God with I, and then they suffer I strain. Bruce Almighty, the film, is a good documentary of what happens when someone gets their wish to replace God and then be God. Then they find it's a lot harder than they first thought. I think Boris Johnson might find that about the job of Prime Minister. Sin, by definition, is putting something else in God's place. Heresy is, by definition, replacing what God's saying by somebody else's saying. Modern people like to turn the tables and put God in the dock and get God to answer and give account for why the world's the way it is. God has to account for global warming and crime and violence and suffering and disease. But it's the tail wagging the dog. God is the one in command, not us. We're accountable to him. He's not accountable to us. And what people sometimes don't like about the Bible is they discover that you start reading it and discover it's now reading you. And that's what they didn't like about Jesus' ministry. It was all right when he was the guy in your pocket for a handy miracle, but he didn't have many crowds when he started to make demands of them. Take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself. Family comes second, follow me. and so on. Preaching has always provoked persecution, because when Paul went into Athens and started to speak in the town square, whatever he was saying, they picked up. Are you telling us that what we've been doing up till now is wrong? We've now to change and be like you, and who are you to tell us? And when it comes to our own prayer life, there's a very subtle difference between who's the genie and who isn't. We rub the lamp like crazy and ask God for help and he's to come and help us, or else we start doubting he even exists. It should be the other way. God rubs the lamp, we pop up, yes, Master, what would you like us to do for you today? Let me finish by taking you to God, speaking to Moses at the burning bush, but he's also speaking to you and me this morning. I am God. You don't know me as yet, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is I know you. You've not weighed all the issues in the balance and then decided to vote for me. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. You're here because I wanted you here. I do not come meekly commending myself to your better judgment and giving you carrots to induce the donkey to follow. I come claiming you, demanding your surrender of self and your obedience of me. You are mine under my authority. You're in the army now. Under my authority, you will become free. You were slaves in Egypt. You're slaves to sins. I can release you. I will be your commander in chief. I will give you orders. I will be the boss. But you will gain a new life, free from all the things that entrap you. Look at your own choices for yourself. Were they that wonderful? Look at what the world offers as the answer to the problems. They're not that great. If you surrender, in the act of surrendering, I guarantee you'll become free. You ask who I am. You ask what is my authority. You ask what is my name. Let me just say this. I am who I am. You'll get to know me. I will be what I will be. I have authority simply because I have the authority. I make no reference to a higher authority. I am the highest. The proof of the pudding of what I say is in the action. You will discover you are free. You will discover you are loved. You will discover life. If you don't like it, come back and get your money back. The proof is in reality. I am he who created you, who sustains you, who rescues you, who judges you. I am your creator God, your lover. You belong to me. You're under my authority, but it's the authority of love. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. It's because of your love that we trust you and we serve you and we obey you gladly, willingly. So take us and use us in your service. Amen. Let's sing Mission Praise 25, All to Jesus I Surrender. Let us pray. Loving Lord God, we praise and thank you for speaking to us through written scripture, through preaching and teaching of the church, through the life of Jesus. Today we particularly give thanks for the Bible, for all the Bible writers that you inspired, for all the Bible translations, for monks copying by hand, for publishers and printers, for all the bookshops, for the online Bible world now. We pray for your blessing on the 100-plus Bible societies around the world. This is the 210th anniversary of the Scottish Bible Society. We pray for your blessing on the work of Gideon's International, which gives away 1 million Bibles a week. That's more than a Bible every second. We think of Bible scholars and commentators, Bible colleges. We give thanks for ministers, RE teachers, youth organization leaders, Sunday school teachers, all who have taught others about the Bible. We give thanks for parents and grandparents who have more than taught the book, they've shown the walk. We give thanks for John Knox establishing a school in every parish so that people could learn to read, so that they could learn to read the Bible for themselves. And we thank you for your guidance as the Holy Spirit as we read our Bibles to see what we're seeing. Lord, help us as we go from here to be the Bibles that other people read. We pray for your blessing today on all those who are ill. We think especially of Morag Conway, Grace Rogerson, Jim Forsyth, Peggy Gilfillan, George Murray and Robert Howie, Margaret Curlett and Ruth Cowan, Irene Crozier and Linda Murphy. We pray for all those who need your loving comfort as they mourn the loss of a loved one. And we pray for our wider world. We think of the people in the Bahamas with the Hurricane Dorian, and it's making its way next to Florida. We think of the people in Hong Kong, where there are millions of peaceful protesters, but there's growing violence too. We think of the Amazonian rainforest, the lungs of the world. There's been 80,000 forest fires this year. We think of the Great Barrier Reef, severely bleached. We pray for the situation in India, where the government has clamped down on Muslims in Kashmir and now turned its attention to clamping down on Muslims in Assam. We pray for Afghanistan, where the Taliban are more militant as America's thinking of leaving. We pray for Syria and the battle for Idlib province, with 3 million civilians caught up in it. 6 million Syrians depend on humanitarian aid. We pray for our own country, with the Prime Minister proroguing Parliament, provoking huge protests, and the country being very divided. And we think of people going back to schools, colleges, and universities at the start of a new term. And we pray for your church. As a presbytery, we think of Whiting Bay in Kildonan and the Reverend Elizabeth Watson. But we also pray for our own congregation and parish, and for your people in every situation around the world. Work in us and work through us. For your kingdom's sake, amen. Our closing hymn is 445. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. 445 in the Red Book.
Captive, Lord, and then I shall be.
The peace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the love of the Heavenly Father, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit be with you and your loved ones this day and evermore.